Good morning. Welcome to worship as we continue in our nice warm days here in the sanctuary. We especially welcome that today our music's provided by our Music Together teachers. Tell you more about what that is during our Life Together time. Also a reminder that the prayers of the day for the month of August will be coming from the study that we're doing on civic life and faith. So you'll see some prayers that are tied to citizenship as we move forward. Again, welcome to worship. Special welcome to those of you joining from home, and welcome to all visitors and guests. Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship today with our confession. Invite all who are able to stand. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in that promise, let us take a moment of silence for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, God gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Blessed Trinity, you call your people to responsible citizenship for the sake of your world. Help us to be faithful disciples who care as you do about the common good. We give thanks for the aspirations of this society toward democracy and justice for all, even while admitting our fears and acknowledging our failures. May our thoughts and words be honest, insightful, and faithful. In all that we say and do, may we strengthen each other as siblings in Christ. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Our first reading is from 1 Kings, chapter 19. At Horeb, the Mount of God, Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. You shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." The word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 10. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is, to bring Christ down. Or, 'Who will descend into the abyss?' That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart.' That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Well, he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, Jesus was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" But when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. One and a half verses from that Gospel lesson. When evening came, Jesus was there alone, praying on the mountain. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. Today, in our gospel reading, we have the very familiar story of Jesus walking on the water. I bet most of you could narrate much of it without having read it. It's so frequently used in so many different settings, just like we had last week with the feeding of the 5,000 scene. And sometimes it can become so familiar that we can get lost in the details and get locked in into a particular meaning that we might have learned from a young age. And one thing about stories that are so familiar to us is that depending on our memories and how we learned them, we often think of one story like that and immediately jump to another. And I don't know about you, but for me, nearly as soon as I think about this walking on water scene, I think of the other boat and water scene that we have that comes from Matthew chapter 8, the calming of the storm. You know that story where Jesus is asleep in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, and there's this great storm, and the disciples finally call out, "Save us," and Jesus calms the waves. Many of you know that story very well as well. And we could conflate these two stories very easily in our minds, because they both are, in fact, the only miracles Jesus have to do with water on a boat in the Sea of Galilee, and that's struggling, and after Jesus' work, the boat's no longer struggling. And I do think we are supposed to do some compare and contrast, that the Gospel of Matthew presents both of these things to get us thinking. But I would like to take a moment of doing that comparison to ensure we're not reading one into the other. And I think it'll be helpful for our understanding of both. In the story of the calming of the storm, there is an explicit storm. That's what we call it, that. And the storm is so strong that it's swamping the boat. And the disciples shout out to the sleeping Jesus, "We are dying. Save us." In our text today, it says the wind was against them. It doesn't say anything about a storm. And it does say that the waves were great, but it also says the boat was far from land. They are making progress despite it. And there's no sense this boat is capsizing. And the second piece is that calming of the storm scene, Jesus is asleep in the boat. And there's a lot of different aspects to that sleeping thing, but one huge difference, Jesus is in the boat. Here, in this walking on water scene, the scene only works because Jesus is not in the boat. And in fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, this is the first time Jesus has explicitly left his disciples since he originally called them when he goes up to pray. And now, most significant difference for our theme today, in the calming of the storm passage in Matthew 8, they cry out to Jesus for help. Save us. Here, they're battling the wind, and they don't cry out to anyone. They don't even think to try. After all, Jesus isn't there. So why would they call out to him? Peter does, of course, eventually cry out to Jesus, but with nearly those same words, "Save me," but only after Jesus has appeared and Peter tries to go walk to him on the water. There's a few other differences and a few other things going on, but I'd like to focus on that last point that I think gets illustrated by this contrast. The disciples do not call out to Jesus for help in our gospel reading today. It says that while Jesus was alone praying, by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. They're in a boat struggling and not seeking help. To think about that scenario, I'd like us to think about our own lives. When we're in places of struggle and we don't think of asking for help. So, to do that, I'd like to share a story of my experience. When I was a student in seminary living in St. Louis, my deal with my wife was, when we originally moved there, my job, and I'd earn enough money that my school wouldn't cost us anything. And there was a pretty good funding with my schooling, so I was able to pull that off. I taught as much as I could, and then I took a student worker job at a Lutheran historical archive that was across the street. And we did fine, but then my last year there, Holly needed to explore a master's degree in library science and become a full-time student. So the income I was bringing in originally was just to cover my own expenses. Now it was not going to be enough. So to solve that, I continued to teach as much as I could, but that was a relatively fixed opportunity. So I planned on simply working more hours at the historical archive as a student worker. Now, the state of Missouri's minimum wage is not what it is here in Oregon. And if I would have stopped and thought, I would have realized that my $8.75 an hour was not going to cover our family's expenses, no matter how many hours I put in. But after all, what else was I going to do? It was either make more money or go into debt. In practical terms, the real plan was probably a little bit of both. Well, about a month into that,
something happened. I was working at that historical archive, and I just, people would email us, and I was in the reference thing, and I was called a reference assistant. And I received a request from a church in Phoenix who wanted some information on the early years of their church. Their 100th anniversary was coming up. And I provided what we had, which took a little searching and so forth. And then out of the blue, someone I'd never met was emailing with me and just asked, "Are you a student at the seminary?" I said, "Yes. I mean, I'm in the doctoral program, so I'm not a ministerial student formally, so I'm not sure if you're sure, but yes." And she said, "Well, you know, I used to give money to the seminary to support students, but I just found out that when you do that, they distribute only a portion of it to the student, and the rest goes into the endowment. And I don't really like giving money to their endowment. I wanted to help students. So could I just give you $500 a month?" I didn't say no. It was one of the greatest moments of grace in my life, a completely spontaneous gift from an effective stranger that was substantial enough to change my life circumstance. But if you look at that, what happened? I knew I needed to work more or take on more debt. Those were my options. The one thing I could have never fathomed was to ask someone for help. It was one of those times of grace in our lives where I would not have even imagined asking for help, but the help came anyway. And I tell that story as we look at these disciples in the boat. Unlike the calming of the seas, they don't cry out to Jesus for help. They don't even think of it. Instead, they're just struggling to get across the sea. The text says that Jesus was on the mountain praying, and by this time, the boat, battered by waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. The word, in fact, is even more poignant. Battered by waves, there's no easy way to translate it. It's actually the word for torture. The boat, tortured by the waves. They're struggling. And the one thing they don't think of doing is calling out to Jesus for help. And after all, why would they? Unlike that calming of the storm where Jesus is asleep in the boat, Jesus isn't there at all. How can they call to help if there's no one to call? And you'll recall from last week, I talk about the way miracles teach us something about our own lives. Those moments in our lives when we don't see Jesus or feel his presence, for us, it might be quite frequent. For the disciples, this very well might have been the first time they had that experience. Jesus has sent them on and isn't with them. They're struggling with what to do if Jesus doesn't feel present. How can we reach out to someone who doesn't seem to be here? But I think there's even more. They're struggling, tortured by the waves, yet they are, through that struggle, barely making it. And that sometimes can be our great challenge. When we're barely making it through, that's when we never dream to ask for help. If the boat was being swamped, then they cry out, "Lord, save us." But it's not. It's a system that barely works, and if you've been involved in any kind of organization at all, you know if something barely works, it'll never be replaced. Instead, they just continue to try and muck through a bad situation, never imagining you could call out to someone for help. Just like we do in our lives. When we think Jesus isn't really with us, and when we are struggling, being tortured by waves of grief, waves of pain, waves of doubt in our own life, and we're just trying to trudge through. And then what happens in the text? Jesus shows up anyway, even though they didn't ask. That's real grace as a miracle for us. that Jesus is coming and saving us is not dependent upon our asking. Instead, as Paul says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even though we can't even fathom asking for Jesus' help in our lives, we receive the grace from the cross of the resurrection anyway. Martin Luther always insisted so strongly that the faith we hold is a gift from God, not something we create. Luther insisted that as fallen creatures, we could never of our own volition say fully enough, I'm convinced of who you are and I believe. Instead, Luther says, it's God who gives us that gift of faith. It's not our good works that save us, even the very ability to ask for help. Instead, it is all on God who gives us forgiveness, grace, and love, even when we can't ask. The new life we receive is present for us right now, whether or not we ask for it. That's grace in our lives. After all, it's not just that we can't fathom to ask for the kind of help we need, but we also wouldn't dare have that kind of audacity to ask. Just like me as a student worker job, I hardly was going to have the audacity to ask a stranger who was calling from Phoenix I'd never met before, oh, by the way, could you give me some money? That'd be completely inappropriate and absurd. I would never have had that audacity. But that's the audacity of grace. Even when we couldn't dream of asking, that grace is given anyway. Thanks be to God. Amen.
With the whole church, let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Confident that God receives our joys and concerns, let us offer our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of creation using the words, "Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great." God of grace and faith, your faithfulness is never ending, and your righteousness becomes ours through Christ Jesus. Send the church to proclaim the gospel both near and far, in church buildings and on street corners, in person and through digital means. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of sky and sea, the plants, animals, mountains, and plains proclaim your glory. Prosper the work of ecologists as they teach us new ways to care for the environment. Bring relief to areas recovering from natural disasters, especially in Maui and Canada. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of peace and justice, you call us to live as your beloved community through the world. Instill in local, regional, national, and global political and civic leaders a desire to work for the well-being of all people. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of wonder, you accompany us in both joys and sorrows. We pray for children and teachers preparing for a new school year. Make your presence known in our work and play, in lively conversation and in quiet rest. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. God of care and compassion, you bring assurance when we are afraid. Bring calm to any who are anxious or fearful. Bless the work of therapists, nurses, and other health care providers. Comfort all who grieve and soothe any who are sick. We especially remember today Betsy Berg, Terry Chapp, Chuck Dietz, Gay and Dal Haverland, Doug and Jody Martin, Gretchen and Jeff Seamus, Ed Thompson, several of the family members of David Joe. For whom else or what else do the people pray? We lift before you all these we have named aloud, those held in our hearts, and those known only to you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of new life, you send people to renew both church and society. We give you thanks for their lives of faithful service as examples of following your call. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray in the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please stand up, share that peace with one another, wave to those joining us from home. a few comments about our life together today. For the first one, I'd like to direct you, if you can, to turn toward the balcony, and Lindsay is going to talk about the music we're having today.
Hi, everyone. I just want to make a quick announcement and reminder, and thank you to our Music Together teaching staff here, Sophie, Emily, and Laurelie. If you weren't aware, or if you need a reminder, Central Lutheran hosts Music Together Eugene, which is a music and movement curriculum and program for children from birth through age 5. One of the beautiful things about Central Lutheran's legacy in this community is the way that the community and the congregation here has chosen to weave musical participation through all stages of life. If you are a singer, you can join us in the chorale. If you are somebody who likes to not use their voice but use their arms, you can join the bell choir. If you are a child from kindergarten through older singing age, you're welcome to join us in the children's choir. And if you have children or grandchildren who are between ages of birth and 5, you're welcome to join us at Music Together. We particularly encourage you to join our Tuesday evening class. We have a cohort of Central Lutheran families with children or grandchildren ages 0 to 5. And if you would like more questions about that, the church helps to support the tuition for the families that are involved on Tuesday night. And if you would like more information about that, there are information cards on the children's table in the narthex, and or you can look at the back of your bulletin and send me an email directly if you'd like more information. And you can also check us out on Together Tuesday evenings. We start at 6 in the gathering room with Music Together, and at the same time, our children's choir starts at 6 up in the rehearsal room. So I hope that you enjoy our musical contributions today. We are having a lot of fun doing a little summer music for you today and getting prepared and ready for the school year, as was mentioned in the prayer. So thank you.
Thank you, Lindsay. And yes. Absolutely. Thank you so much. Music Together is incredible. And I don't remember the numbers from last spring, but I think it was close to 60 kids were included. It's incredible. A couple other notes in the back of your bulletin. You'll see the blood drive coming up. It is really helpful to the organizers, if you'd like to give blood, to make an appointment either with the phone number or the website. It just makes their life a lot easier. Then the other thing to note is we're continuing our Tuesday evening Zoom class on civic life and faith. Last week, we had 32 people there participating. It's with United and Emmaus, and it's been a really beneficial conversation, and we're providing some feedback to church-wide, so really encourage you to participate in that. You see more information about that on the back page. And also on our website, you'll find that Zoom link. It'll also be emailed to you with our weekly events here that comes out Sunday afternoon. Which is a quick reminder, if you're not getting our weekly email and you'd like to, please let me know and I'll get you on that list. Now with those quick announcements, let's continue with our offertory.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of field and forest, sea and sky, you are the giver of all good things. Sustain us with these gifts of your creation and multiply your graciousness in us, that the world may be fed with your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. For distribution this morning, we'll invite you to come forward up to the floor and receive the bread in the form of a wafer, and then intinct or dip it in the cup. The cup has red wine or white grape juice. All are welcome at the Lord's table. This is Christ's meal. It's Christ that bids you come.
invite all who are able to stand. Body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you have created us for the good as the body of Christ. Grant us, through this meal of your body and blood, courage to live and speak together as a reflection of your love. Fill us with hope for the future. Guide us to go in peace and to love and serve you in our community.
Amen. Now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace.